The T-Biz Podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Each year, the T-Biz portal publishes the State of the Tea Industry Forecast, a forward-looking assessment of production, pricing, trade, and demand. We invite tea professionals across the value chain to review the findings and contribute their perspective. Your insights help refine the forecast before it is finalized on March 1st. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Red Sea routing volatility returns. Why tea logistics is still not normal. East Africa opened 2026 strong as bids rewarded premiumization. And Taiwan's 500 7-Eleven tea bars scale up. Plus, the 2025 Leafies Awards. The 2025 Leafies Awards, an international showcase for artisan teas, drew the tea world's attention to London this week. Judges awarded 21 gold, 52 highly commended, and 9 special awards, recognizing excellence not only in flavor, but also in innovation, craftsmanship, and alignment with sustainable practices. Following the awards, winning teas were presented to the public at Fortnum & Mason, underscoring the growing connection between craftsmanship at origin and premium retail at destination. Joining us today is James Saranga, head of the International Tea Committee. James participated in tastings and judging of 411 teas entered by producers and tea makers from around the world. He discusses which teas stood out, how standards are evolving, and what this year's results signal for producers and specialty tea markets worldwide. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
Global shipping is not normal again, and two of the world's biggest carriers are proving it by making opposite decisions about the Red Sea. Maersk says it will resume using the Suez Canal and the Red Sea for one of its major services linking the Middle East and India to the U.S. East Coast on a selective basis. At the same time, CGM says it will continue diverting ships away from Suez on 3 major routes, citing ongoing uncertainty in the region. That split tells us something very important. There is no industry consensus that the Red Sea is open in a normal, dependable way. For much of 2024 and 2025, the Red Sea was an exclusion zone, forcing ships to bypass the Cape of Good Hope. This diversion added 10 to 20 days to many voyages between Asia and Europe or the U.S. East Coast. The current situation is a two-track system, not a complete resumption of normal traffic. Some shipping lines are cautiously reintroducing services through the Suez Canal, while others maintain full diversions. Consequently, two identical containers heading in the same direction can now experience vastly different transit times, costs, insurance conditions, and schedule reliability, all depending on the selected carrier and service you book. This development is significant beyond just the freight market. It has major implications for risk management and planning. For tea, it matters immediately. Tea is not perishable, but it is sensitive to time, heat, moisture, and container dwell. It's also tied to blending schedules, packing runs, promotions, and private label commitments. In a two-track routing world, transit times become ranges, not dates. Arrival planning becomes probabilistic, not precise. And buffer inventory becomes strategic, not optional. This is especially relevant for black tea, which is moving out of South Asia and East Africa into Europe and North America. Business Insight. Global shipping is not back to normal, and this week the two biggest carriers in the world proved it by doing opposite things in the Red Sea. That tells you everything. There is no single planning assumption anymore. For T, this isn't just a freight issue, it's an inventory issue, contract issue, a risk management issue. We're in a two-track logistics world now. This isn't normal. It's managed volatility. The East Africa tea market opened in 2026 with strong volumes and broad buyer participation at the Mombasa tea auction. But the more important story is not how much tea was sold, it's which tea is being rewarded. The first major Mombasa sale of 2026 moved about 8.4 million kilograms of tea and attracted 48 buyers from international markets. Kenya accounted for the bulk of the offering, and major buyers included Global Tea, Chai Trading, LAB International, and Mitchell Kotz. From a supply and logistics standpoint, this confirms that East African production and market access remain resilient. But the auction also showed selective demand. Of the nearly 144,000 packages offered, almost 28,000 remained unsold. That's a reminder that the clearance is no longer automatic. Buyers are choosing carefully. The market is now clearly quality sorted. Well-made, consistent teas are being defended. Average or inconsistent teas are facing price pressure or no bids at all. Producers and market leaders are increasingly talking about premiumization, not as a branding story, but as a manufacturing discipline. The idea is simple: better processing, better sorting, better specs, better prices. Business insight. East Africa's auction system is liquid, but it's no longer forgiving. In 2026, factories will not be rewarded for how much they ship, but for how consistently well they make their tea. Volume is not the strategy. Price realization is. That's the market talking. TBiz Mongolia-based correspondent Manbayar Bagarch writes that Taiwan 7-Eleven's new tea bar format has hit scale. In Taiwan, 7-Eleven's cafe reserve and tea bar format has now surpassed 500 stores, marking a meaningful scale-up of fresh tea drinks within one of the most developed convenience retail markets in the world. This format isn't just a corner of the store add-on. It integrates automated brewing systems, sugar and ice control, and a wide menu of customizable tea beverages engineered to deliver consistency and convenience at volume. This build-out comes as President Chain's Store Corp., which is the owner of 7-Eleven Taiwan, reports December 2025 consolidated revenue of $964 million USD. That's about 30.5 billion new Taiwan dollars, a record sum. While the company does not disclose category-level revenue splits, industry benchmarks for Taiwan convenience retail typically place fresh beverages like coffee, tea, and related drinks in the low to high teens as a share of store turnover. Applying a conservative 12 to 18% range implies that beverages likely account for roughly 115 to 170 million USD per month in system-wide sales at the current scale. Even at the low end of that range, this positioned beverages and increasingly tea-based formats as one of the most economically significant and strategically leveraged categories in the 7-Eleven Taiwan retail model. What's happening in Taiwan matters for the global tea trade for one clear reason. Large retail platforms like this push demand towards leaf that is highly consistent, process-ready, and spec-aligned across hundreds of locations. Business insight. For exporters, producers, and global brands, the lesson is this. The future of tea growth lies where systems meet scale, in places where the drink is standardized, automated, and repeatable, not just where the tea leaf is romanticized. That's the demand signal coming out of Taiwan. This week's Tea Price Report is sponsored by the East Africa Tea Trade Association, EATTA, owners of the Mombasa Tea Auction since 1956. T-markets closed the third trading week of 2026 on a steady to firm note as buyers prioritized near-term coverage against structurally constrained supply. Auction price discovery remained quality-led across major origins, with Colombo supported by exporter demand for high-grown teas. Assam liquidity grade set the direction in North India, and Mombasa prices held within narrow bands despite buyer selectivity. Exporter resistance remained evident as currency and input costs reinforced price floors. In Colombo, prices averaged $3.18 per kilo in week three, up from $3.15 a kilo in week two. In Calcutta, prices averaged $2.41 per kilo in week three, up from $2.39 per kilo in week two. In Mombasa, prices averaged $1.94 per kilo in week three, compared to $1.92 in week two. And in Indonesia, auction activity remained secondary to direct sales, with specialty orthodox demand selective. Prices averaged $2.08 per kilo week three against $2.06 per kilo in week two. To see the full tea price report for detailed regional breakdown, six-month trade signals, and near-term outlook for quarter one pricing dynamics, visit www.teajourney.pub and select T-Biz Price Report. That's the T-Biz Price Report for week three, ending 16 January 2026. And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
The 2025 Leafies Awards, an international showcase for artisan teas, drew the tea world's attention to London this week. Judges awarded 21 gold, 52 highly commended, and 9 special awards, recognizing excellence not only in flavor but also in innovation, craftsmanship, and alignment with sustainable practices. Following the awards, winning teas were presented to the public at Fortnum & Mason, underscoring the growing connection between craftsmanship at origin and premium retail at destination. Joining us today is James Saranga, head of the International Tea Committee. James participated in tastings and judging of 411 teas entered by producers and tea makers from around the world. He discusses which teas stood out, how standards are evolving, and what this year's results signal for producers and specialty tea markets worldwide. Over 5 days last October, James Saranga, Executive Director of the International Tea Committee, served on an expert panel of judges that evaluated hundreds of entries from across the tea lands, recognizing excellence in flavor, innovation, and sustainable practices. The 2025 edition of the Leafies, an international award celebrating artisan tea excellence, concluded this week with an awards program in London, followed by public tastings at Fortnum & Mason. Launched in 2022 by the UK Tea Academy in partnership with Fortnum & Mason, the Leafies attract hundreds of entries from tea makers across Asia, Africa, and Europe. All teas were blind tasted by an expert judging panel with awards recognizing flavor quality, craftsmanship, and innovation. Winning teas earned the Leafies prestige mark, now a recognized signal of excellence, and several will be displayed at Fortnum & Mason's rare tea counter. More than trophies, the Leafies continue to connect education, terroir, and a global tea craftsmanship on a single credible platform. James Saranga is a senior global tea executive and head of the International Tea Committee, overseeing industry data, analysis, and policy engagement. A respected tea judge and speaker, he brings deep expertise in markets, production, economics, and international trade dynamics. He holds a master's degree in marketing from Edith Cowan University. Welcome to the program, James.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Of the 411 teas entered this year, only 21 earned gold status. That level of selectivity reinforces the Leafy's reputation as a serious benchmark for artisan tea. From your perspective as a judge, what stood out in the 2025 entries?
I thought this year was quite impressive. The kind of teas that we saw were quite varied, and we were really, really impressed by the quality. The other thing was that we deliberately shifted the award ceremony towards this year rather than having it last year. That was to allow some of the winners to apply for their visas to come over. Soon after the award ceremony, we had a panel discussion with us as some of the experts in the industry and some of the judges. We delved into some of the industry pain points and latest issues and discuss with the audience as well.
From what I understand, this year marked an evolution in how the Leafies are experienced, not just as an award ceremony, but as a broader engagement with the trade and the public. How did that feel from a judge's perspective?
Usually, the award ceremony is one day only. But this time, we had one day, first day as the award ceremony, and the second half as the panel discussion. And the second day, the UKTA opened up to the tasting to the public. So where public could come free of charge, it was at Fortnum & Mason at the studio, and people could just walk in and taste award-winning teas, literally, and also talk to those tea makers or the producers themselves and ask questions. And I saw a great deal of enthusiasm in that segment where, you know, normal people who wouldn't know much about specialty teas and different terroirs to different ways of making teas and so on and so forth. So there was a lot of good conversation, I felt, and people are quite thrilled that we did that. Yeah, so overall, it was a very, very successful event, in my opinion.
Judging also seems to have evolved. There were more entries, more judges, and a higher level of technical sophistication among the panel, including experienced industry veterans. Can you talk about how the judging process has matured?
So, Dan, every year, whilst the entries have grown, we've increased the judges as well. So people from the trade or experts have joined in willingly to judge, which is a great thing. And the most important thing, I always think that I believe it is the case with most other competitions, but here, when we do the judging, it's all blind tasting. So names of estates or factories or producers who have entered are not disclosed. The packing of the teas or unpacking of the teas, we are not allowed to even see the packaging as judges. So it's been done very discreetly and very professionally, which is a great thing. But having said that, we sit around. So what happens is we would have separate groupings and based on the category. So each grouping will have an expert on that group who will guide the group. Say, for example, just giving an example, Japanese teas. So Asako is our Japanese tutor at the UK Tea Academy. So she will kind of head that group and guide the other judges as to what kind of criteria we're looking at and what is basically guiding them. And then, of course, Each and every judge will give their independent opinion on a tee, and then the points are calculated.
Attendance also appeared stronger this year from both producers and the wider audience. Did you sense that as well?
That's right, Dan. I think there are more people who could attend. And not only the winners, I saw and felt that there was more numbers in terms of the audience who kind of came in, bought tickets and came in to witness this event, the award ceremony. So participation was really good. Out of all the years, I feel that this year was the best.
Fortnum & Mason has played a central role in hosting and supporting the Leafies. From your standpoint, how important has that partnership been?
I think Fortnum's collaboration or support has been really helpful. They have given us the facility to do the tasting, which is a great facility. Their studio is a great, great facility with the right amount of lighting, the water, and the fact that it is held at Fortnum & Mason has given us great exposure. It was a fitting location to have this event.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of T-Biz journalists and T-experts? Remember to visit the T-Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.